98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Danny Ainge, president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Danny Ainge, hello.
Happy New Year, Fred, Rich, and John. How are we doing today?
Danny Ainge, thank you for naming all of us as we come together on this occasion of great basketball intrigue. As last night, yesterday afternoon, there would be declared nothing short of a blockbuster trade. James Harden moving to the Brooklyn Nets. A name, James Harden, that Ramona Shelbourne from ESPN, decorated, respected reporter, has said that you, Danny Ainge, had interest in. Your thoughts?
Are you guys, like, in the same studio?
Two of us
are. Do you have, like, glass in between you? Two of you are?
No, me and John.
I am remote. This is Rich. I'm remote. Fred and John have, like, this gigantic bank window.
Actually, we don't. But, Rich has been in his house in Nantucket for a year.
Yep, since March.
Just about, yeah.
He's been there for one full year.
My wife is immunocompromised.
It's pretty good. It sounds great, though. Like, you can't tell that. That's amazing.
Yeah, well,
it's radio magic.
No, it's the professionalism, Danny. I mean, if you get other people in here, and if you get other people in here, it's going to sound like crap. But if you get the big dogs who make the big bucks, Danny, that's how we get things. But the big dogs, Danny, back to the question. Mm-hmm. Back to the question. You tried to deconduct me. But I'm following you. I got a scent on you. What are your thoughts on all this shenanigans? Were you in on this thing or what?
I mean, James Harden is a great player. I mean, everybody knows that. He's one of the best offensive players that have ever played the game in any era. So James is a great player. I think every team in the league respects him and fears him as an opponent.
Now, were you interested in him?
Did the Rockets call you? Yeah, did the Rockets call you about James Harden?
Yeah, we had conversations regarding James, but not recently. But yeah, we did have conversations.
Was this a price too high situation? And did your opinion of the price change as this young season progressed?
No, listen, we had numerous talks, but the price really wasn't changing. The price was really high for us, and it was just something we didn't want to do. And I'm not sure there was anybody, even the people that, within our organization that, respected him and wanted him more. But I think unanimously we decided it wasn't the time for us, and it wasn't the price.
Was him being fat a deterrent?
I think he'll be okay.
I want to know.
But you're watching him on TV.
Hang on, John. Step aside. I want to know, Dan.
Sure.
One thing is that I am interested in all seriousness, is that a premier athlete at 31, I want to know how long it takes him to lose 30 pounds. That is something that I'm actually fascinated in. How long it takes to play that off. That is something. But him being fat had nothing to do with anything, huh? You're saying?
No, probably not.
All right.
When is the last time you had to have a conversation with a player about, dude, you might want to watch your weight?
Well, he had Big Baby.
That's a good point.
Every day.
Well, there was Jared Sullinger, Big Baby.
There's
a history here of a few guys that I can immediately think of. But when's the last time you had to have that conversation with a player?
I have conversations with, you'd be surprised how many guys we have that conversation with. Just not just weight, but all conditioning, from a body fat standpoint and conditioning, guys that I see that are out of shape. I mean, I'm really, really big on conditioning. I think it's such a critical part of reaching your potential. And so I have conversations pretty regularly with guys about their conditioning.
How do they take it for the most part when you mention, because I mean, there's some people I could see being fairly sensitive to that. How do they usually take it when you have to mention their weight?
Everybody's different. You have to approach it, knowing the players, you have to approach each guy in a different way. But most of the guys receive that right. I mean, a lot of guys have struggle with it, and they have addictions to food and It's just not as easy for them to get their bodies in shape, and some just don't have the discipline. But oftentimes, I've seen some. You know, my favorite one was Perkins. I mean, when we drafted Perkins, he was well over 300 pounds, and I remember having those conversations with Perk, and my office was right above the weight room, and I was looking down on the weight room one day, and it was so fun. I saw Perk take his shirt off and was looking at himself in the mirror.
Really?
And
was he crying?
His body looked good. I mean, he had put in some serious work and had lost, you know, 35 or 40 pounds, and he looked good with his shirt off. I mean, it was a huge transformation, and, you know, he was one of those great stories.
That's funny that he thinks he's having a private moment and he finally feels that he's comfortable enough to take his shirt off, and he, you know, kind of cautiously looks in the mirror, and there's Danny beaming down at him going, "Get with it, fatso."
Danny, okay, so, you know, Harden talks his way off of Houston and Kyrie's not showing up in New Jersey. Has the league swung too far in terms of the players having all this power? Is it gotten a little bit out of control?
You know, listen, we have our own challenges, and I don't really worry too much about the challenges that other teams, but I don't think so. I think that there are individual circumstances and instances, but I think those are the unusual times, and, you know, players that have extreme power that are, you know, paid so much money and generate so much attention around the league. But right now, I mean, our team is really all I know, and we have a great, great group of guys, and it's really fun to be around them.
If you had a player that just went off the grid and didn't tell you where they were going, how do you handle that as an organization?
Yeah, I mean, that's unacceptable, and you have to figure out why, what's going on, and try to find a way to communicate and reconcile and figure out a way to make reasons. I don't know why. I mean, I have no idea. Like every player, like I said, with the Wade, it's the same thing with personalities. I mean, every person is different, and every circumstance is different, and so, like, I'm not judging anybody. I learned a long time ago not to judge anybody until you know their story. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know the story. And so I'm not going to be critical of anybody yet until I know what's going on.
Well, let's talk about, I guess, what's happening right now, which has been strange, obviously, this week with all the games that have been postponed. First of all, I believe right now it's just Tatum and Robert Williams who have tested positive for COVID. There was a third name, but I don't know if it's been released. How are those guys feeling right now?
Well, you know, I can't confirm nor deny anybody that's tested. Like, that's the strict guidelines I have. But I think that our players are all doing well. We have some that are in contact tracing also. So, like, all of our players are doing well, and it looks like we're going to be able to play a game tomorrow, but, you know, we still have 17 more tests to do between now and then. So we'll have to find out what happens. You know, each of these tests, you're just on pins and needles right now, the way that our society has gone, more than the NBA. The NBA has done a pretty good job. But anyway, it looks like we're moving in the right direction, so that's good.
What do you think of the contact tracing protocol that they're using? Because we discussed this with Chris Mannix the other day, and there was a situation with the Nets where Kevin Durant, who had already tested positive earlier in the year, he was close to one of the guys in the team who had COVID, so he was put in – he wasn't able to play, even though science says that the antibodies would mean that he couldn't get it. What do you think of the way this is all being put out there and the way they pick and choose who indeed has to sit out a game and who doesn't?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Again, the circumstances are all unique, but I think that they're, just because you've had it doesn't mean you're not going to get it again. And I think they've learned that. And even though it's less likely, That's the first thing. And it seems like, you know, that's what some people believe, that you're not going to get it again, but that's not true. You can get it again, and there have been players that have tested positive that have gotten it again. So that's that goes.
Really, there's been players in the NBA that have gotten it twice?
Antibodies. You can have the antibodies, I guess, for it. You don't have the corona. Like, you don't get sick, but you can be carrying the sickness.
Well, I mean, once you get it, you would have the antibodies. But what you're saying is that there's been people who have been infected twice in the NBA?
Yes. Yes, oh. I have heard that.
Well, that's interesting.
So,
okay.
I had friends of mine that have had it and have tested for the antibodies and showed that they had the antibodies to confirm that they did have the coronavirus, but then 2 or 3 months later did not have the antibodies any longer.
Well, that's okay. Very confusing.
So, right.
I don't like that sounds of that at all.
I think a lot of the scientists are saying that the antibodies, on the average, I think are staying in your system for 5 months. I read that somewhere. I have no idea if that's true or not, okay. But that's what I read somewhere recently.
All right. So, but the players
know. We're learning a lot of science in the NBA with all the tests that we're doing.
I know it's got to be. It's got to be just a.
It's like learning about.
Be worn out after all this.
It's like learning about the ideal gas law during the Deflategate. If you were an NFL team, this is exciting stuff. Put on the biological hat, there, Danny Ainge.
So, who's set to be on the court Friday? Then, like, who is expected back? What are we looking at?
Well. We're expected to have Tristan and Grant back today at practice. And then for the game tomorrow, we're hoping to have, you know, more players than that back. But, you know, I can't say who. We're just going to we'll put out a report as to which players are in and out, questionable, doubtful. All that report will come out sometime today before 5 o'clock today.
What about Kemba? Because I know that before even these games were postponed, there was speculation that he might be able to return by tomorrow night's game.
Yeah, so I think that would have – I'm not sure who said that, but I think that was a little bit early. But, you know, the challenge with Kemba is Kemba's working, but he really hasn't played basketball. And with all these tests that have come back, and with our team in our inability to practice and do nothing but 1-on-0 workouts, it's hard to get Kemba, you know, the reps that he needs and the real basketball that he needs to get back out on the court to play a game. So I'm not sure is the answer.
But that's got to feel good, because if I'm not mistaken, this was a fairly optimistic timeline for him. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I thought it was going to be a decent amount later. And here we are, you know, and I hate to say it, these postponed games benefit the team, because then he'll only have missed, you know, about 10 or 11 games before he ends up coming back. This is a fairly good sign, is it not, for Kemba?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's, you know, I'd rather play the games even without Kemba, just to, because we don't want to stack the games up later in the season. But, yeah, I mean, Kemba has progressed well. He's worked extremely hard, and I'm excited about his return, and I know he's really excited to get back on the court. But, yeah, he's doing fine, and we're hoping for big things.
Well, you've had a nice, I mean, something that looks like you turned out to do a great job in that first round, because Peyton Pritchard, you know, over these last couple of games has been impressive to the point where, I mean, he's getting trusted by Brad Stevens to keep him in at the end of games, close games. And he won a game for you guys the other day with that last second putback. Is this something that you're surprised by, how quickly he's been able to just right from the start contribute to the team?
You know, it's hard to know how it's all going to fit. You know, when you're drafting players, I mean, I really liked Peyton, watching him play for the last 4 years at University of Oregon. But you never know how it's going to work with a coach and with the other players on the team. But, you know, he was a kid that just from day one, I think he got the attention of the veteran players and the coaches. It's just been a good fit. He's been the kind of player that we needed. His shooting has been very important. He's made some big shots and some big plays, and he's shown that he can compete defensively against some bigger guys. And he's been a very fun player to watch so far this year.
How do you do that, not piss off, like being like a rookie and showing up? Because there's got to be some players that do it wrong, that show up and immediately rub the players the wrong way. Like, how do you do it wrong and how do you do it right?
Well, yeah, there's definitely been players that have shown up and done it wrong. and I don't think intentionally wrong. I think good guys that just like didn't know how they were going to respond. I remember one time when we drafted J.R. Giddens. And JR came in, and the first day he was wearing KG's shoes, and our equipment manager had given a pair of shoes to JR because he didn't have any shoes, and that was the only person that wore the same size. So when KG saw those shoes being worn by that rookie who he didn't even know, oh, he about blew a gasket, but I don't think he wanted anything to do with JR for the rest of the time. He had no chance from that day on.
Well, he wasn't there very long, so you didn't have to worry about it.
And that poor guy had no idea. Like, what was his fault? It's like, hey, he gave me some shoes. And the next thing you know, you're hated by everyone. So.
Well,
but Pritchard seems to, I mean, it's like it's the point where, you know, you've got Tristan Thompson and Jaylen Brown giving him nicknames, posting these, you know, Instagram videos of his from when he was in high school shirtless. I mean, they really seem to like the guy. And I guess other than playing, he seems to be doing everything right to click with these players.
Yeah, like I said, I think that his work ethic and his grit, you know, right away, he wasn't intimidated. He felt like he belonged. He showed it, you know, in the first scrimmages that we had in training camp. And I think that they, you know, he just earned their respect for all those reasons. And, you know, there's definitely some rookie hazing going on with those videos, those high school videos of him shirtless dancing. Not a very good dancer, by the way.
No.
But anyway, I think they're just having fun with the rookie. He takes it really well and goes out and competes hard.
Until he snaps, and then you'll all know the wrath of Peyton Pritchard when the facade right. of the happy-go-lucky rookie wears off.
That's right.
Now, have you met a Kardashian yet? You mentioned Tristan Thompson. Have you met a Kardashian? Are you involved in their Instagram accounts?
I am not. No. I did watch the show one time for 15 minutes with my daughter, who was staying at my house, and so I went up there and upstairs and watched the show with her, and I didn't understand why she would be watching the show, but
it's
anyway,
so good.
Only exposure to the Kardashians.
Oh, Danny, it's really good. You gotta go back and revisit the episodes.
You're really missing out.
I don't know how, Danny, you know what? You're just too absorbed in basketball. You don't know how to enjoy yourself anymore if you can't sit down and enjoy the antics of that family.
Danny's a Cobra Kai guy.
Not enough
weird stuff's going on. I need more. All right.
I'm more of a Real Housewives guy. I mean, if you're going to choose one, it's like being a Beatles or an Elvis fan. You can't be both. You got to choose your side.
I just watch old episodes of Gunsmoke. I like when a man was a man. All right, Danny Ainge, listen, you know, you tried to get James Harden, we found out, but, you know, these things happen. Thank you so much for the time, sir. We do appreciate it.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right, there
we'll
you
see
go.
You, man.
The great Danny Ainge.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.